Rav Rakshol Yisrael Yishlita Kveid Asaz Bun Hama Kveid Yididi Yishiposh Yisi Stavus Rabbani de America Harav Shaya. I feel that I have to explain, if not apologize, as to why I decided to speak in English. At first blush, it might appear shaloi min animus. A person should not be piris miatzibo. Leilom leheilodom eir bin aishenim. Yeshe bin aindim eime bin aish. But there is a gemore in Miseches Bava Kama at the end of Perek Mehuba. I think that the base, Gemara says, Omar Rebbe, Be'arts Yisroel Moshin Sur Siloma, Elohim Moshin HaKedesh or Moshin Yevoni, Reb Yeis Yoma, Bibobel Moshin Aram Yevono, Elohim Moshin HaKedesh or Moshin Parasi. It appears from that Gemara that it is in consonance with Nimus and the Acharet to speak Greek in Eretz Yisrael and Persian in Bavel. Why should it be inconsistent with Nimus and the Acharet to speak in English at this kibbutz? Yehuda ben Teime says in the fifth perek of Pirkei Avos, Ben Arboim Lipino, a 40-year-old person is mature enough to have bina or understanding. Now that Medinas Yisrael is a Bas Arboim, is 40 years old, we are in a position to have a mature understanding of Medinas Yisrael on a depth level, to understand its essence, its purpose, and the mandates that Providence has imposed upon us on a collective level as well as on an individual level. In Moshin HaKedesh, we find three separate terms that designate wisdom, namely Chochmo, Bino, Das. The Torah in Shmois, Perek Lamed Aleph, Posik Gimel says, in connection with Bitzalel, Vamalei say Ruach Elikim b'chochmo u'bitvuno u'bidas u'bichol melocho, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Rashi says that chochmo or wisdom designates learning things from others. Tfuno, or understanding, designates the ability to draw deductions or conclusions from what one has already learned before. And thus, or knowledge, designates Ruach HaKedesh, or divine inspiration. However, the Malbim in his Peirush on Mishlei Perek Chof Daled Posuk Gimel says that Das really designates common sense or intuitive wisdom. And he says that Rashi doesn't mean in Shmos that Das means only Ruach HaKodesh. In connection with Bezalel, Rashi points out that the intuitive wisdom of Bezalel has attained such a high magnitude that it assumed the level of Ruach HaKodesh. But das means common sense, intuitive wisdom. The Maalon says, in connection with the Psukim Gimel and Dalet in Perek Chof Dalet of Mishle, V'chochmo yivne bais, uvisvuno yiskenein, uvidas hadovin yimolu, kol heyoko v'noim. For wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge are the chambers filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The Maalon says, Bechochmo yivone bais means that in order that someone should be able to build a house, then he must have architectural chochmo, or wisdom, that he acquired from others. He must have received the training in an architectural school. Uvisvuno yichenein, through deductive intelligence and talent, one is able to establish it. Uvidas chadorim yimolu kole yokovinoim, through intuitive wisdom or common sense, the chambers are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. In order to decorate a house, one must possess an intuitive sense. It is to be noted that in connection with Bezalel, or the building of a Mishkan, which was an exclusively Torah structure, as well as in connection with the building of a mundane structure, discussed in Mishle Perek Chof Dalet, the same three wisdoms, Chochmo, Bino, Das, or wisdom acquired through empirical data, through teachers and books, and wisdom acquired through deduction, and wisdom emanating from intuition and common sense, are mentioned. In other words, in order to build a Torah structure or to devise a Torah belt and shawl, and even for the purpose of building a mundane structure, one has to resort to and exercise three separate wisdoms or faculties, namely Chochmo, Bino, Das. And the exercise of the three wisdoms has to take place in this exact order. First Chochmo, then Bino, then Das. First Chochmo, or the wisdom acquired through empirical data, teachers and books, then Bino. Dovo mitir dovo, or deductive intelligence, and then Das, or common sense. This presents a direct contrast to the manner in which the science of mathematics is contrived. The contrivance of a mathematical science also requires the exercise of three wisdoms, namely Chochmo, Bino, Das, but the order is different. The order in the contrivance of Euclidean geometry is first that be das, then Chochmo, and then Bino. The question is, why is there a contrast between the order of Das, Chochmo, Bino in the contrivance of geometry in mathematical science, and in the order of the contrivance of the Torah proposition of Chochmo bin Das. But there is a difference between the contrivance of geometry, which is an exclusively deductive science, and consequently the axiomatic or intuitive wisdom comes first, and then the Chochmo, and then Binah. And the contrivance of the Torah approach, or the building of a mundane structure which is not exclusively based upon deductive reasoning. Now that the state of Israel is 40 years old, we, the Jews from the diaspora and Jews from Eretz Yisrael, are in a position to exercise the wisdom of Binah, of deductive reasoning, and to learn from experience and from the mistakes in the past. But the wisdom of Binah cannot be exercised by itself in isolation. It has to be exercised in conjunction with Chochmo and Das, and in order to devise a halachic approach in respect to the state of Israel and in respect to the relationship between the Jews in Israel and the Jews in the diaspora, we first have to take cognizance of all the halachot that are relevant to the approach that is to be adopted by Jews vis-à-vis the conflict with the Arabs. This is the Chochmah faculty that is to be exercised by us. Then we have to resort to the Binah faculty by learning from experience and from the mistakes, and then we'll be in a position to contrive the Das Torah in regard to the state of Israel, or the common sense and intuitive wisdom. In secular groups in Israel, there is a variegated approach vis-à-vis the conflict between Jews and Arabs in Israel. A variegated approach that ranges from secular Jews at the extreme right, who advocate an extreme hawkish policy towards the Arabs, to secular Jews on the extreme left, who advocate the policy of extreme dovishness in peace at all costs. This variegated approach, from one extreme to the other among secular Jews, is understandable. Secular Jews are not motivated by Torah principles and halachic disciplines. They adapt their approaches on the basis of their respective intuitive and intuition and common sense. But what is astounding and perplexing is the fact that among Orthodox Jews, this variegated approach, ranging from one extreme to the other, exists even in greater magnitude than it exists among secular Jews. Orthodox Jews are all bound by Torah principles and halachic discipline. Why is there such an antithetical range from one extreme to the other? The answer is that, generally speaking, these Orthodox Jews, when they contrive their Das Torah in respect to the state of Israel, they contrive it in the same manner as Euclid contrived the Euclidean geometry, to wit, on the basis of Das, Chochmo and Binah, with Das, or axiomatic and intuitive wisdom, being the foundation of the structure. They first, on the basis of intuition and common sense, adopt either an extremely hawkish approach on an extremely dovish approach, and then through a process of rationalization, they inject their preconceived notions into the Chochma and the Bina. Such a method can only culminate in a spurious Das Torah, not genuine Das Torah. In order to contrive a genuine Das Torah, one must first realize that the Torah structure and the Torah proposition is not like a mathematical structure and the mathematical proposition. In order to contrive a Torah structure and the Torah proposition, one is to follow up the order of Chochmah, Bino and Das. First, he must have recourse to Chochmah, which consists of the numerous and multifarious halakhic data together with all the nuances. And then he has to have recourse to Bino or deductive wisdom. And only then he is ready to exercise common sense. The theme of this conference is 40 years State of Israel from the perspective of the relationship between the Jews in Israel and the Jews in the diaspora. I decided to use certain psukim in Tehillim as the basic Torah strata and halachic data from which we will be able to draw the proper conclusions in regard to the peculiar approach we are to adopt vis-à-vis the conflict between Jews and Arabs in Israel, as well as in regard to the peculiar approach we are to adopt vis-à-vis the relationship between the Jews in Israel and the Jews in the diaspora. Let me first cite the psukim in Perik Pizayin of Tehillim. L'nei kerach mizmer shir Yesidei say the Harerei Kedesh, Eva Dishem Sharei Tzion, Mikol Mishkenis Yaakov, Nirbodeis Midubavoch, Iro Elekim Selo, Eskiro Rav Uvoel Bovel Lieidai, Hini Precious Vitzeir, Im Kosh Zeg Latom, Utsien Yomeir, Ish Veish Yulad Bo, והוא יחמינהו אליהם, עד השם יספר ברכסי בנים, זה יולד שום סלו, וישורים כחיילים, כל מיוני בוח. By the sons of Korach, a psalm of song, its foundation is in the holy mountains. God loves the gates of Zion, more than all the dwellings of Yaakov. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Selah. If I make mention of Rahab and Babylon to my friends, behold, they are Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there, but of Tzion it can be said, man and man was born there, and he himself maintains her in that unique and lofty position. God will count when he registers people. This one was born there. But singers and players of the flute alike, and according to one interpretation, but singers and dancers alike, all my wellsprings and all my essence, all my cravings, all my yearnings, and all my longings are in thee. What is the meaning of the expression, Ish v'ish you are born? Man, man was born there. The Talmud in Seches Ksuves, Daf Ayin Hei, gives an explanation for the double usage, Ish v'ish, man and man. This psalm mentions the basic distinction between Zion and any other country. in respect to Egypt and Babylon and Tyre and Ethiopia, only one who was born in Egypt or in Babylonia can be considered as a child of Egypt, a child of Babylon, can be considered as a citizen of Egypt, as a citizen of Babylonia. However, in respect to Tzion, in respect to Eretz Yisrael, there are two types of people who can be called children of Tzion or citizens of Tzion. Both. The person who was actually born there and the non-native who always yearned to see Tzion, even if he was not born there and has never visited Tzion. Echod Adobo, the Echod Amitzapel Reiso. At the time of the British mandate over Palestine, the British authorities passed the law that set up a quota for the Jews in each country in Europe to enter Palestine. For example, a quota of 100 Jews from Czechoslovakia and the quota of 100 Jews from Romania were entitled to a certificate to enter Palestine. It happened once that the Romanian quota of 100 Jews was already filled up by 100 Romanian Jews having received certificates to enter Palestine, but the Czechoslovakian quota was not as yet filled up. A number of Romanian Jews who were eager to enter Palestine thought of producing false affidavits to the effect that they were born in Czechoslovakia. But being God-fearing people, they inquired from Rav Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld, Zecheinu Livracha, as to whether they were allowed to do it. The response by Rav Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld was that this would be very dishonest and consequently forbidden. And he mentioned the Rambam in the Perusha Mishneh in Perek Yudalev of Kelim, where he says that the Yisrael of being gained das apres, even in Akum, comes within the posik, Kitiavas Adishem, Koleise Ile, Koleise Ovel. It is an abomination before God to do any of these dishonest practices. Then the same Jews contrived the plan to produce a false affidavit to the effect that they were born in Palestine. They again inquired from Rav Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld as to whether they were allowed to do it. This time, Rav Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld responded that they were allowed to produce such an affidavit. They said to Rav Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld, "How come this kind of affidavit is also false, just like the affidavit that they were born in Czechoslovakia? Why then is this false affidavit muter and the other false affidavit also?" Rav Chaim Yosef Sonnenfeld responded, "This affidavit, that certain Jews from Romania were born out in Palestine, is true, because of the Aloche Uvitzien Yomer, Ish Veish Yuladbo, Echod Hadobo, V'Echod Amtzapel Yireiso." This concept, to wit, of Uvitzien Yomer, Ish Veish Yuladbo, Echod Hanelebo, V'Echod Amtzapel Yireiso, is the moral basis for the Chok HaShvus, the law of return. No other country has the counterpart of the law of return. Only Israel has a law of return. I'm sure that if such a law would have been proposed in any other parliament, let's say in the Italian parliament, in the French Parliament to wit that any person from Italian origin or French origin should be entitled to settle in Italy or in France, that this law would not have passed. Nay, in all probability, it would have been labeled as chauvinistic because it discriminates between a human being who is of Italian origin or French origin and a human being who is not of Italian origin or French origin. How is it that the law of return in Israel, to the effect that every Jew is entitled to enter Israel and settle therein, is not considered chauvinistic? It is even considered sublime, in spite of the fact that it discriminates on its face between the Jew and the non-Jew. How is it that liberal Jews, who are so hasty in attacking anything that has the semblance of being undemocratic, did not criticize this bill? The answer is implicit in the Aloha of Litzien Yomeir Ish Ish Ulabo Echod Hanelabo Vihechod Hamitzapel Ereso. To express it in succinct terms, in Tzien there are two kinds of people who are recognized as Tzien or citizens of Tzien or citizens of Israel. One who was actually born in Tzien, in the state of Israel, and the other, one who was not born in the state of Israel, but who yearns to see it. But the question is, why? Why can't we say that in Bobel, in Precious, in Tzeir, there are also two types of people? One who was born in Precious, in Tzeir, in Kush, and another one who just yearns to see it. The answer to this question is given in the Les Posik of Pirit Pizayin, namely, Kol Mayanei Boch, Vishogim Kichelim, Kol Mayanei Boch, and singers and players of the flute, or singers and dancers alike, shall say, oh, my wellsprings, all my yearnings, all my cravings, all my longings, all my aspirations are in thee. This implies that the reason as to why a Jew who was never in Eretz Yisrael can be considered a citizen of Eretz Yisrael, because kol mayanei boch, all the wellsprings, all the cravings, all the yearnings, all the longings of every Jew are directed towards God and towards Zion. But this explains as to why Orthodox Jews were in favor of the law of return. But why were the secular Jews in favor of the law of return? Why didn't the secular Jews in Israel, from the Marach, from Apai and Mapam and Arbus Avodah, all the secular groups, why did they attack the law of return as racistic, as chauvinistic, as undemocratic, as discriminatory, as making a distinction between the Jew and the non-Jew? The answer to this question is implicit in the expression Vishorim Kichelim, singers and players alike, singers and dancers alike, kol mayanei boch. Why does not the Pasuk say, kol bnei Yisrael, mayanei boch? I think the cholim symbolize the observant Jews, the Jews who are datim, the Jews who believe in the Torah, who are dedicated in the Torah, who are motivated by the Torah. Michelin symbolized the secular Jews. The Balatanya said, Es sind drei verschiedene Gunnen, einigen Mitwärter, einigen Unwärter und einigen Unanigen. Die hat wie keins auf Nigunin. Einigen with words, einigen without words, and einigen without Nigun. I am going to modify that statement. The Baratanya probably meant that einigen Unwärter is more sublime than einigen Mitwärter. And the Nigun without a Nigun is more sublime and loftier than the Nigun Unwärter and the Nigun Mitwärter. But I'm going to modify it a little. There are three different Nigun. The highest Nigun is a Nigun Mitwärter, a Nigun with words. Then the next kind of Nigun on lower level is a Nigun Unwärter, a Nigun without words, but with sounds, it's a Nigun. And the lowest type of a Nigun is a Nigun without Nigun. Now, one explanation by the Mephoshim of Mechilim is the flute players. Another explanation, and from the Medrash Hatev, this explanation appears. So, is Mechilim dancer. A flute player plays a Nigun without words, but there is sound. A dancer, those who dance in a chug, in a mochel, there is rhythm, there is a Nigun, but it's a Nigun without Nigun, there are no sound. So there are three types of Jews. They are the religious Jews who believe in the Torah, and they know the relationship between Yisrael and Yisrael, the Kutcher Berichu. They are the Shorim, they are the Menavnim, they are the singers who sing a song with words, with Velta. They know what they sing, and they know what their objective is. And then you have the secular Jews. But among the secular Jews, you also find two types of Jews. They are secular Jews who allegedly don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as a Rav Kook Zichron Livracha, Rabbi Yitzchok HaKeim Kook wrote, there are no Jews who don't believe. They deceive themselves, but they all believe. But allegedly, they don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they know of what we call the secular Jews, called Tidua Yehudit. I don't know what it means, but they think they know. In my opinion, Tidua Yehudit means Torah Pialoche, but they call Tidua Yehudit something other than Aloche. What it is, no one knows. They themselves don't know either, but at least they have certain ideas about Tidua Yehudit. They are Michelin flute players. It's an Igun Unwärter, but it has sounds. And then there are many secular Jews who don't even know about Tidua Yehudit. They don't even know the concept of Zionism. But they also sing in Nigun. What kind of Nigun do they sing? In Nigun on an Nigun. They dance in the Mochel, and they participate in the Mochel. And who is in the center of that Mochel? A mochel is a circle. So everybody who dances in the circumference of the mochel is equidistant from the center. Who is the center? They don't know it, and they deny it. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the center. Why do they all dance, all these secular Jews, who allegedly are atheists, who allegedly are anti-dati? They fight against the Torah, they fight against the Yeshivas, but why do they stand in that mochel? Why? Why don't they go to other countries? Why didn't they dedicate their energies to Soviet Russia, to China, to communist China? They are such liberals. Why? Why did they come to Eretz Yisrael? Why? The answer is in the depth of their heart. they want to dance in one dance and to stand in a machel, in a circle, and all of them being equidistant from the center. And who is in the center? The Rebbeinu Shlomo. But they don't know it, and they are denying it to themselves. But Vishorim Tim Chayolim, Kol Bayolim Bach! This is the reason as to why the law of return was passed unanimously by all members of the Knesset. Orthodox, not Orthodox, Marach, and Likud, all of them, without exception, because the Shogun Kim Hailori called my own book. Explains why Tzion is unique among all the countries in the world in having two kinds of citizens, one who was actually born in Tzion and one who is yearning to see it. The reason is the Jews throughout the generations have directed their hearts toward Tzion. Now again, call my only Boch. So there are two explanations. Boch, to thee. Whom does it have reference to? One pshat is that it has reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maalbim says that Boch has reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. And it's thee with the Taproot. Rav Simson Paul Hirsch, he says that it's thee with the small thing. It has reference to Tzion itself. But I think both explanations are equally correct. Bishorim Kim Chayolim Komayon Bach. The singers and the flute players, the singers and the dancers alike, all their yearnings, all their cravings, all their learnings, all their longings are directed towards thee, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and towards Tzion. Throughout the millennial history of the Jewish people in exile, Jews have been saying, Kol Mayon Boch. They have been saying 3 times a day, V'sechazenoi neinu v'shufo v'tziyem v'rachamim. Hoshivo shekteinu kivo v'sheino. This millennial yearning and craving toward Tzion has become incorporated into the Jewish soul like a spiritual gene, motivating not only the behavior of the shorim, the singers who sing a single, a nigun with vater, a nigun with words, who know the relationship between Yisrael, Eis, and Kuchibrichu, but motivating also the behavior of the mechilim, the secular Jews, the flute players, and even the dancers, who do not sing in even with words, but only in even without words, and sometimes in even without an even. In my opinion, one of the most serious blunders committed by the state of Israel consists in the fact that the state of Israel recognizes, under the law of return, a non-halachic conversion. I would like to point out that I am not making this statement from the halachic perspective only, but also from the point of view of natural law, common sense, and fair play. Even if I had been a secular Jew, it's a little hard for me to visualize this picture that I had been a secular Jew, but I'll have for a moment, I'll have recourse to the imagination. And I am imagining that I am a secular Jew with a secular bent and charm. But even if I had been a secular Jew, I would be equally upset with the recognition of a non-halachic conversion under the law of return. because the recognition of a non-halachic conversion is repugnant not only to the Torah, but to natural law, to common sense, and fair play. Imagine, could you imagine that a non-Jewish parliament, I won't mention the United States, in the United States they have the concept of separation of religion and state, but other countries, democratic countries, Britain, Canada, France, Italy, democratic countries, and if a certain law would apply to Catholics, and the question would arise, who is to be considered a Catholic? Would the British Parliament today decide on such a question? Inconceivable! Inconceivable! How come that the Knesset decided on the question of who is a Jew without consulting the rabbinic authorities? It's not only repugnant to Torah, it's repugnant to common sense, it's repugnant to fair play, it's repugnant to everything that is decent in human life. And I think that this is the most basic issue. And I disagree with those people, Orthodox Jews and the Orthodox leaders, sincere as they are, but they say we shouldn't press the issue. We have to press the issue. For the sake of the salvation of the Knesset, this mark of shame has to be taken off the state of Israel. Not only as halachic Jews, but as fervent Zionists who are devoted to the state of Israel, we have to fight for the law that only a Jew who is recognized by Allah as a Jew is a Jew under the law of return.